Podcast.
The 20th of June was World Refugee Day. It coincides with Refugee Week and it's coordinated by the United Nations to show support for refugees forced from their homes by violence. In Nargal and Butte, our journey in supporting and rehoming refugees on Butte started in 2015, and now it's turned into a fantastic programme of activities that's seen the Butte community win the inaugural Pride of Scotland Award and the work of our team win the COSLER Excellence Awards for supporting refugees. And our manager who's been leading the work that we do on this is Morag Brown, and she's here to tell us more about it. So hi to Morag, and we're talking about the work we're doing with refugees, and you've coordinated all of that for us, Morag. Maybe get you to take us right back to the beginning of how the council got involved and what's at the heart of the work we do with refugees.
Thanks, Pippa. Thanks for bringing me along. This is something that is very, very close to my heart. So, yes, very happy to talk about it. Our involvement went back to 2015. And I think for those that can remember our back to 2015, our television screens in the news, etc., were all filled with pictures of refugees walking across Europe, getting into small boats, and sometimes losing their lives trying to cross the Mediterranean. There was an outpouring of refugees from Syria as the civil war that had started in 2012 had erupted further and causing so many people to flee their homes, to leave their own country and to try and find some sort of safe haven in other parts of the world. What happened was, in response to that, and it was an international response, but in the UK, the Prime Minister at the time back then was David Cameron, and he made a commitment through Parliament to resettle 20,000 refugees in the United Kingdom. Now, the UK government can't do that on their own. They absolutely need the devolved nations and then the local authorities within them to be willing to take part, to participate in a scheme to welcome refugees, but not just bring them here, to help them rebuild their lives, to help them to settle and recover from some of the traumas they had experienced, and to take time to recover and most of all be safe. So just like every other local authority in the UK, Argyll and Bute was asked, would we be willing to participate in what was an extension of an existing scheme, something called the Syrian Vulnerable Persons Resettlement Scheme. It had been existing for a few years. It had resettled a few hundred people under that scheme, but this now was a considerable upskilling and doing it at pace. The commitment by the UK government, they decided that they didn't want to encourage refugees to walk through Europe to make their own passage. So we said that our commitment was to welcome refugees to the UK that were in the countries surrounding Syria. So that's the refugees that would have been coming to the UK. They were in the countries surrounding Syria. They hadn't gone any further in their refugee journey, hadn't travelled any further. So Argyll and Butte looked at that proposal. It landed on my desk like so many things did back then. And I'd been horrified at the pictures on the television screen at night, and I realised what information I was sitting on. I realised what the ask one was. And I was also really acutely aware of our declining population, the capacity that we do have within Argyll and Butte and the space we have, because we really want to grow our economy, grow our population. And this was possibly just another way of looking at an opportunity to do that, albeit one that I'm sure nobody had ever given any thought to previously. So, being very aware of what our communities can do and achieve, I went through to the directors, the chief exec at the time, and said, here's this proposal. You've asked me to have a look at it. I think we should do it. I think we can do it. I'd be very, very honoured if you let me have a shot at doing it. but I think this is something we could really do and do well, albeit we have no experience and we'd be doing it from a standing start. We were one of the first authorities in Scotland to say yes to the Syrian Vulnerable Persons Scheme. We then had to look at where, because very quickly that decision became a decision that politically we were prepared to support as well from the leader and the administration. In fact, we had full cross-party support back then. And we very quickly had to look and decide where we would want to resettle refugees. We would never have managed a fully dispersed model, and we really had to look at an area for resettlement. Rothesay became a front runner and is our resettlement area for a number of reasons. There was accommodation available through our RSLs, our registered social landlords, had a number of void properties that they weren't sitting on significant demand for from the local community. Therefore, there was not a competition for housing that would have had a perception that anybody was missing out on. Those voids were there, and there still are a high number of voids in Rothesay, unfortunately. The school was also a 3-18 campus in Rothesay. That was really good because it was one school building all the way through. A head teacher that would be able to oversee the support required for pupils who would be arriving with a degree of trauma and who did not speak English. That was key to us. And health was also really, really, really important.
You say that all those were the sort of strong reasons why Bute was put forward. And I think you were there when the first group of refugees came in on a rainy night and across the ferry to Bute. And, it seems so long ago now. And back then that a lot has moved on. And, I mean, there's so much we could talk about with this because there's a vast range of support and things that goes around this and funding that the council gets to enable it to put that in place. But I think what and you've touched on how fantastic it is to be able to respond to that and play a part in that, responding to that humanitarian crisis. But I mean, in those it's over 5 years now. I think there's some fantastic stories to tell as to where we've got to and what's been achieved by you and the team that are providing that support. Because there's some real great personal stories of where those refugees have now become key members of the community and businesses and things and just what's been achieved by that, which are really great. Maybe tell us some of those.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, I've been at the airport for I think just about every time we bring a refugee family, I get the honour of going to the airport to collect them. And right at the start, we took quite a team to the airport when we first brought in our first cohort, and we bring the pupils, secondary or senior pupils from Rothesay Joint Campus accompany us. They're very good at lifting heavy bags, but that's not the only reason we take them, is that it's a real opportunity for them to be right at the start of somebody's journey. So refugees come into, fly into to Scotland, into the airport. We collect them from the airport and we take them over to their new houses in Rothesay. Nothing can really ever prepare refugees for arriving in a new country, for travelling, usually in the dark. Always seems to rain when we bring them in. And to arrive, to then get on a ferry, to then come over to Bute and to see that. But we've done some lovely things over time because we continue to resettle refugees here. Just until COVID hit, we were still bringing refugee families in. And it's been a real amazing experience to be able to resettle family members. We brought in a family in February 2016, and very lovely family. They've done very, very, very well here, but they had to leave behind, in the Middle East, their oldest daughter and grandchild, their first grandchild, and they said goodbye to them when they came here, and they were not at all sure that they would ever see them again, or when they would ever see them again. And we were very, very lucky that the daughter and grandchild were also chosen to be resettled in the United Kingdom. Their case was accepted, and even more lucky that we were able to welcome and bring them to Rothesay. And it was, absolutely amazing to take this couple, because I took them with me to the airport to go and welcome their daughter, their grandchild, and their son-in-law that they hadn't seen for such a long time. And yeah, a real privilege and an amazing experience. And over time, we have reunited family members, generations, because the refugee crisis in the Middle East has caused a really dispersed and wider diaspora of refugees, of Syrians that are now living across the world, and families don't know when and if they will ever see one another again. And I think that's really, really been an interesting part of this piece of work.
Yeah, I mean it's always heartwarming to hear the stories of being able to reunite people, which is, it's hard to imagine what that must be like. But you maybe share as well some of the stories of then what the families who've settled have been able to achieve and in setting up their new life, because that's also the positive bit of this is seeing people flourish again after such challenges that they've been through.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What Argyll and Bute offers is these absolutely wonderful, welcoming communities. And I think that the refugees that are resettled here are absolutely love having their neighbours that come to them and welcome them with gifts of food, with them, with gifts. And they really feel part of a community, which is great. It is absolutely, and I will not hide away from the challenge of learning a new language when you never expected to travel, out with the confines of your home country, and you're suddenly in a new, very far away place with a very, very different language. So it is hard for them to learn English. We do that. We deliver our own ESOL program. We deliver it through the Community Learning Development team that sit within education. They've been really, really good at coming up with innovative ways of learning language. But what we have got really good at doing is helping refugees learn language through the opportunities that we've found them through work. So whether that's volunteering, through work experience, or better still, and more, what we are really successful at having done is those that have moved in to set up their own businesses. And those opportunities have been done and happened because of the sort of really good partnership approach that we have in Argyll and Bute and making that happen.
So tell us about some of those businesses, because they really are now your real attractions on Bute, some of them.
Very much so, and I'm thriving and expanding onto the mainland as well. It was really interesting when we started working with the refugee families. We knew we had to address their health needs. We knew we had to find them housing. We knew we had to teach language. But very quickly, we knew that they had plans and ambitions for themselves. Maybe not as they had thought they would be, but they wanted to take the opportunity of being in the UK to do something. They certainly did not want to be on Universal Credit on benefits. They wanted to be working. So we were able to, through our employability strategy that we'd created, we were able to work with the refugees and say, okay, so what are your short, medium, and long-term goals? And if those goals are moving and on opening a business of your own, we would bring in the team from Business Gateway to look at developing those business plans further to the point that they would be able to open the door and run a business. The patisserie on Bute, which has become a real draw and highly recommendable if everybody gets over to Rothesay, was case in point. And that family had run business in Syria. They had run a big business in Syria, albeit not a patisserie, but they had business acumen, were struggling with language, were struggling with regulatory framework, taxation, etc., a business framework that was very, very different to how it was in the Middle East. But through all the support that the various parts of the council were able to give, and other partner agencies were able to give, we were able to explain that in a way that was understood and therefore complied with, and the refugee family were able to operate and open their own business, which, as I say, has become very successful and grown.
So give it a name check and tell us some of the accolades they've got.
So Helmy's Patisserie, the pink patisserie in Bute, I think is now Bakery of the Year. And they have, as I say, now expanded and opened a shop in Glasgow. The employability strategy that we created and the way we implemented it won the council COSLA Excellence Award. So we are very, very proud of that work. But what is important around that is that we don't do things for our refugees. We equip them to do things for themselves. And that sometimes is very difficult and challenging when we're talking a different language, when we're understanding a different culture. But for the likes of the patisserie, we were able to bring in environmental health colleagues, planning colleagues, building control people right at the start of the process, before any shopfront was leased or, table was put down with a napkin on it to say, this is how you need to do things to make them be successful. This is what you need to think of. This is what you need to be aware of. These are the regulations you need to comply with. And there's a lovely story that I will share. It took quite a lot of time and effort to help our refugee families understand this different language, this different culture, this different approach to doing things. And when we finally got the planning consent through for the internal refit of Helmy's and the building warrant, one of my team went down to decide them, discover they were happily putting up the stud walls, not at all where they were in the plan. And they were just beaming because they'd been awarded their certificate. And we're sort of like, no, you've got to follow the plan as you submitted it. You can't change it now. And they just hadn't even realised that after they'd said they were going to do something, they were to follow it in this country in that way. So yes, there's been some lovely sort of things that we hadn't unanticipated things that we hadn't been aware of that have happened on our journey.
I think what they obviously have got right from what I've read is their apple tart and the carrot cake, because I think those were the things that have helped to get them the Scottish Baker of the Year, or top prizes in the Scottish Baker of the Year competition. So I mean it's such a lovely success of where that's got to, and I know that's a must have for many people in the office here if they go to Bute, is bringing back cakes from Helmy's, because it's just fantastic. Apart from good to eat, they're amazing to look at.
Absolutely,
It's just
Bashar.
works of art. So.
Yeah, no, very, very much so. Very talented pastry chef. Bashar Helmy always says a lovely saying. He said right at the start when he was figuring out what business he was going to open it, and this is before his son, was even certain that he was going to get to be resettled in the UK, or son-in-law was going to be resettled in the UK. He said, as I was thinking about it, I realised Scottish people have a very sweet tooth. Sweet things would do us well.
I think he's right there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely on point. So, I mean, obviously, we don't have many of these conversations without COVID coming into it, and that sort of shifted things. So, what's that meant, and what are we looking at for the future now?
There are opportunities, but I think come last March, I wasn't seeing many of them. I was just seeing a lot of challenges. It meant for us that everything moved online, everything became virtual. From the support team that we have two Arabic speaking support workers who deliver an absolutely fantastic job and are really the first point of contact for the refugee families and all of the services they use. Well, they were so used to being out and about going into refugee families. They moved to becoming home workers and delivering everything remotely. Our English classes, our ESOL classes had to move online, and that was a huge challenge for us. And it's, I'll be honest, it still is. We had to provide a platform to deliver ESOL on that our students could access who did not speak English, who did not read English, who did not use email. So with very poor IT skills, we're able to access our classes, and we've done that by taking it completely out with the network. And we use Zoom for that platform, and we're, because of the security concerns around the use of Zoom, we're way off the council network in being able to deliver that, because it was the most accessible of the platforms. We very much rely on messaging services and to pass information around because of the limited skills that our families have, and because most of what they're accessing, they're using during their phones, using on their phones. So apps and are much easier to use. Broadband connectivity and Wi-Fi provision wasn't necessarily good, and nor sometimes was 4G. So overnight, we had to come up with a model. We had to come up with a way of getting people into class so that their learning wasn't interrupted. And actually, it's worked in a really, really positive way. A few weeks ago, start of this month, I was really, really honoured, I think, yes, to award SQA exam certificates to Syrian adults that have managed to study and do all their learning online through all of this COVID time, and they have stayed with it. It is harder, but sometimes for our harder to reach and most vulnerable refugees, the ability that to access a class online by not having to leave their home has actually meant that their engagement's really good. I'm not going to quite use the term captive audience, but they didn't have so many other things going on in their lives, so were able to participate and focus on learning English, and they've achieved great results. And I think that has been amazing. It was I never expected that when we moved into online learning. I'm really, really pleased it's been the outcome. But the other thing in having online and virtually so classes, we've been able to broaden those out. We've got volunteer tutors from other parts of Scotland helping us, which is great. And we've been able to have non-English speakers attend our classes from out with the refugee cohort in Rothesay, and they attend and participate in those classes as well. And that's good. That's worked really, really well. So that's been a real challenge. I think IT skills, when you have very, very little, to be able to access what suddenly all became online was a real, real challenge. And I just, it was almost like we wish we had that month to prepare for lockdown. If I could have, spent a bit of time even getting email addresses set up, and a quick instruction on how to use them, it would have made our lives so much easier.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, you did it, and it's working, and I suppose, we have to call out the recognition that all the work that yourself and the team have got from doing this, where People have come from all sorts of different countries to learn from what's been done on Bute and the work that's been done, and the COSLA Excellence Awards for supporting the refugee work in 2019. But probably the most I don't know if I want to say important, but probably the most notable one that I would have to mention is the one for the Bute community, who won the Pride of Scotland Award in 2020, which was about the recognising the support that they've given the refugees, is a fantastic one to have won.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't be more pleased for the community of Bute. We could never have done what we did if it wasn't for the support of the community of Bute. And they were just another part of that, fantastic partnership that was there from welcoming refugees. I remember, I'm trying to remember which year it was. It was probably 2016. And I had, again, it was raining. It was always raining when we bring refugee families into Bute. And I had three refugee families with me. And we were on the ferry. And they're always very excited on the ferry and they're taking lots of photos. But we're waiting to, ferry's just about to come into Ross Sea. We're waiting to be called down to the car deck. I'm gathering them all together, making sure that all the children are in the right place. And the crew and the community almost made us a guard of honour and clapped those refugees as they went down to the minibus. It's just absolutely
Oh.
amazing that the absolute sort of respect and welcome that the people of Rothsay have given those families is incredible.
Yeah. What a good place to wrap up our discussion on that positive note of that, and just massive big thank you to the community of Bute, because ultimately it's down to how welcoming they've been that makes this all a success. So thank you to your team, but big, big thank you to the community on Bute.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Thanks, Morag. A big thank you to Morag for coming and talking about the refugee programme, but also for the work she and her team do in supporting the refugees that resettled in Argyll and Bute. But probably the biggest thank you should go to the community, who've made it such a welcoming place for all of our refugees. And if you're on Bute, please go and check out some of the businesses that are run by our refugees, particularly Helmy's Bakery, which is just amazing. Take care.
Podcast.